This Galactic Netcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks featuring more than 100,000 titles to choose from. For you, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts to sign up today.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Wednesday, June 4th, 2014. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 106 from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining all of us is Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moyens from the same address in Wausau, Wisconsin. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Doing all right.
Okay. Awesome. Doing all right. I guess we split the difference.
And we're doing good.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So let's just dive into it here. I know we usually do small talk at the beginning, but I think our small talk's not going to go anywhere.
We did a lot of small talk.
Yeah, we did a lot of pre-show small talk. So I guess we got it out of our system, and we can get the show on the road. This is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, real life, all over the place. Of course, we are talking about E.T., extraterrestrial aliens. The show is divided into three sections: the news, the craft corner, the spotlight of a certain kind of alien spacecraft, and our picks for the week. If you want to watch us record the show live, we do it Wednesday or Thursday. We're kind of both ways. We've got a Thursday show coming up. But just follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus to find out when and when and where and how and links and stuff and how you can watch the show. Or just favorite youtube.com/galacticnetcast. Actually, subscribe to our YouTube channel and find out when we'll be live on the YouTubes. Before we get the show going for reals, don't forget to go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts, and you can give as little as $1 a month and help us become the biggest powerhouse of science fiction news and commentary on the whole damn internet. Support us financially with that $1. Gets taken out of your bank account every month automatically. Don't have to worry. No sweat. That's, you know, a dollar. You don't even have to keep track of that. You know, a dollar is nothing. But with that dollar, you become our boss. So again, patreon.com/galacticnetcast. If you like what we're doing, if you like science fiction and science in your podcastery, then we appreciate your $1 a month. $15 a month will get you, you can become a guest on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club podcast. So one more time, patreon.com/galacticnetcast. And we thank you for your support of the Galactic Netcast Podcasting Network. So let's start the show with a little bit of this right here.
In the news.
And in the news, Brad has the first story.
That I do. First story. So we've been talking about Jupiter Ascending for a while now. And Jupiter Ascending is the Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis, Wachowski sibling sci-fi epic that was going to be, and I say that, was going to be released in about 6 weeks from now. So it was like an August, beginning of August release. Yeah, that's not happening.
Oh.
We're 6 weeks away from the film being done, and the Warner Studio president of domestic distribution basically said, you know, we're going to be delaying this thing, and it's not uncommon for delays to happen, and this is going to be coming out about the time that the Lego movie did, and just this past late winter. The thing is, and the question that's being raised is, if you've shot and put together a $150 million film, would the production schedule have gotten that far behind that 6 weeks out you still don't have all your effects done and ready to go?
My theory is they're scared. They're scared of the competition. They're scared that – I think they want to release it at a time when not – when these big blockbusters of the summer aren't coming out against them.
Yeah. It's so there's a lot of rumors kind of going around now that the movie's complete crap, of course, and that they want to take the extra – and we're talking 7 months that they're talking about pushing it back.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's quite a bit of time. But, of course, Warner countered with, well, World War Z got pushed back, and look how that turned out. So, you know, one of the other things, too, is Edge of Tomorrow is slated to come out, I believe, this week.
Yes, you are correct.
And it's projected to only do an opening of $25 million. So there's thought that if the projection for Edge of Tomorrow, which is a Tom Cruise vehicle, and he's done very well with sci-fi films lately with Oblivion, which we talked about earlier, I saw in the theater, and I actually bought a Blu-ray copy of it because it was so excellent.
It was a good movie, but did it do well at theaters? I don't remember. I thought it did.
I thought it did pretty well. We'd have to do a little research on the intertubes to confirm that, but... But, you know, with everybody saying, okay, Tom Cruise sci-fi film projected at $25 million, how are we going to fare? So there's the fear that if they put it out at this time, how much money are they going to lose out of that $150 million investment?
There's a lot of competition this weekend. What was the movie that came out last weekend? It was Maleficent, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the teen drama Fault in Our Stars, which is getting a lot of hype too. So I don't think Edge of Tomorrow is going to do that well. And I think you're right that maybe they're scared. They're seeing the writing on the wall.
Now, just did a quick check on Oblivion. Oblivion domestic, that's just in the US, brought in just under $90 million. Now, its production budget was $120. That said, the foreign box office was close to $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they made their money back. They didn't do it strictly in the U.S., but worldwide, including the worldwide figures, they made their money. So,
you know, maybe in the long run, this is a good thing, because it seems like we go for a long time in the winter months without any big movies coming out. So maybe the studios start, you know, instead of, you know, globbing everything together in the summertime, maybe they start, you know, kind of parsing them out throughout the year, you know?
I really think with the way high-speed internet has changed and how the ways to distribute films now and the way people are changing distribution, I think that the larger studios need to really take a look at those industry changes and look at doing, you know, direct releases to, you know, maybe a service like Vudu, where you could just say, okay, I can't remember what movie just came out, but you could see it. I can't remember what service it was, but you could actually see it before it hit the theater through a pay-per-view service that would be available on things like Xbox or stuff like that. So, I mean, they're looking at different ways to change how people approach and view movies as opposed to going traditionally to a movie theater.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with the huge blockbusters, but the smaller films, I know, they become available a lot of times, you know, on demand. Like, our cable system here has same-day movies as they're in theaters. So I don't think it's that. I think it's going to be a harder sell to put big blockbusters like starring Tom Cruise out the same day.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, but I think that the writing's on the wall for how things are going to change, and they are changing, I think, rapidly for the independent films, and I think once people are accustomed to that and pick up on the convenience of independent film releases that are being done pay-per-view style, I think that the larger box offices, you know, the larger studios need to kind of look at changing their model for distribution.
So let's review the plot, because people might be wondering why we're talking about this movie on the Alien Invasion podcast. Are aliens involved?
Oh, Jupiter Ascending. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, it's I understand. Because we've talked about this a lot of times, but maybe somebody's just jumping into the podcast on this episode. Maybe they don't know about the movie.
Sure. No, essentially, Jupiter Ascending is about an Earth woman who...
Mila Kunis.
Played by Mila Kunis, who genetically has the makeup to be the queen of this particular realm.
It looks fantastic. From the trailers I've seen, it looks just amazing. The special effects are amazing.
Okay. So this is set in the future, and Jupiter Jones is her name. She's unlucky, lives a very poor life, and she encounters this warrior played by Channing Tatum, and he comes to Earth to reveal that her genetic signature makes Jones royalty and heir to Earth. And yes, to protect her from someone that, from the alien royalty previous, and one of the more powerful dynasties in the universe, who has a bounty on her head and basically wants the position and feels that she doesn't deserve it. So
I'm confused. Are these people from the future Earth, or are they from a different dimension? Or
it's the future Earth.
Okay.
Outer space families own planets for business purposes. So people are purchasing, rich families, it seems like, are purchasing planets for business purposes. And her genetic makeup makes her the next in line to be ruler of the Earth.
Okay, got it. Yeah, this is kind of a bummer. This is a real bummer. In fact, I'm really sad.
So the release date, instead of being in August, has been pushed back to February 6th of next year.
All right, perfect time. Not much going on in February. It's going to be cold. You're going to want to go out to the theater. You know, you're not
You're going to want to get out of the house, but you're not going to want to be able to do anything outside up here. So theater is a good option.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're smart doing this. It's a bummer, but I think it's a smart move.
Could be.
I really get the feeling that they're in trouble.
Maybe it's just still rendering.
Yeah, I know how long rendering takes sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to do like 5 minutes of work and I'll be gone for like 5 hours because it's rendering.
Yeah.
So maybe. Maybe the ETA was 7 weeks, right at 6 weeks. And I'm like, man, I don't want to postpone it just a week.
I think they may have They're computer power enough to render something pretty quickly. Not like the rest
Probably.
Of us.
Josh, I would hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see when it comes out in February if that's the case. They may, I don't know, do some reshoots, re-editing, possibly. Who knows? That's a lot of time.
And the story that I grabbed here that this is from our from Dark Horizons, and we'll have the link in the show notes so you can read all of the details on it. And there's also a link to the original Los Angeles Times article where they have the interview with Dan Fellman, who is the studio president's domestic distribution head. So,
all right. Good enough. Thank you very much, Brad. Great story. Stay on the subject of movies. Sigourney Weaver, Eyes New Ripley Adventures. The actress, of course, known for playing Eleanor Ripley. Or no, hang on.
I thought you were going to go with Eleanor Rigby for a second there. You were so close.
I changed it up. I wanted to put my own style on it. No. Ellen Ripley from the Alien franchise, she was at the Hero Complex Film Festival in Hollywood over the weekend, and during an in-depth Q&A between screenings of the original 1979 Alien and its sequel, the 1986 film Aliens, she said, "Had we done a fifth one, I don't doubt that her humanity would have prevailed. I don't feel like there is, or no, I do feel like there is more story to tell. So she's hinting at her desire to maybe do one more Alien film. She reminisced about her time as Ripley in the film franchise and went on to speculate what shape a possible fifth film could take, much to the delight of the audience, I'm sure, because in her words, she thinks that the audience is kind of desiring another Alien film. But I don't know how her character could be involved in another Alien film unless they kind of went back in time and changed the timeline or something like that, 'cause she died, right? Right?
That's a good question, because I watched the first two, and I think by the time she got to the prison world one, I kind of stopped.
Yeah, and I think she died, and spoiler alert, I think she died in that one, but they brought her back, like cloned her or something for the fourth one.
Yeah, there was one that I don't remember if it was the third one? Fourth one? I don't know. But yeah, I remember they had cloned her or something to bring her back. But I don't remember which one it was. It was whichever one had like the little baby xenomorph hybrid thing that like went out the air chute.
I think I'm pretty sure that's the fourth one, because she's talking about
is
doing
that the fourth one?
She's talking about doing a fifth one, and the third one was the prison. So the fourth one had her as like the cloned version of her.
Okay, so yeah, then it was the fourth one that I've seen. Maybe I didn't see the third one. Maybe I just saw one, two, and four.
Okay. Anyway, well, I mean, let's see. She said, this is what she was talking about. I feel a longing from fans for the story to be finished. Adding, I could imagine a situation where we finish telling the story. I wonder if she knows something that we don't know. The actress related many behind-the-scenes anecdotes from filming, including one involving the infamous chest-bursting scene, saying, "We forgot we were actually making a movie. It was so real to us and convincing. I can't believe two guys got under the table and made that happen." She also paid tribute to the Swiss surrealist artist H.R. Giger, who died last month at 74. His work served as a direct inspiration for The Alien. He also worked as a special effects consultant on the film, which won an Oscar for its visual effects. Weaver also said the film's politics were a big part of Alien's lasting cultural relevance. A lot of corporations are still characterized by the same kind of greed as the film's Weyland-Yutani. She said it's an idea that, unfortunately, is very alive in our world. So it sounds like a very interesting Q&A with Ms. Sigourney Weaver, hinting at a possible fifth film. Let's play some brain games here and figure out how that's going to happen. Like, because, I mean, they're rebooting, basically, the Terminator series with Arnold, and he's getting old. So there's got to be a way that they could bring her back as Ellen Ripley. In a way.
She doesn't look bad for her age.
No, she looks fantastic. Yeah.
So, I mean, a little bit of makeup, the right lighting, and I think she's good to go.
There's some things you should just let go, you know? I really loved the first two films. I barely remember the third film. Obviously, I didn't see the fourth. I don't know. I think there's a point where you let it go before you totally wreck it. Or they have to completely reboot it.
Yeah. Which I think
we're seeing a lot of.
Which I think this attempt for this, the prequels, basically, what was the movie 2 years ago?
Prometheus.
Prometheus was basically a prequel to Aliens or the Alien films. That's kind of a reboot in a way. You know, they maybe make three prequels and then redo the original three or something like that. I don't know. Brad, Hollywood likes to do remakes and reboots.
I know, and it's just so horrible. It just, there's some things you just, not everything needs to be rebooted.
Yeah, a great movie like Edge of Tomorrow, which is an original science fiction concept, unfortunately, is probably not going to do that well, but it's from what I've heard, from what I've read, it's a great film. It's a great original story, you know, and it's too bad that people are so gaga over, you know, you could throw comic book movies in there as well, that and remakes and sequels.
People like familiarity.
Yeah. This is true.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is people are more willing to wait until it hits Netflix or Redbox or whatever, so you don't see that necessarily see that traffic to the theaters anymore.
It's expensive to go to a movie. I mean, I went into the summer thinking that I'd like almost, you know, try to hit as many of the movies as I could. Unfortunately, my financial situation is not where, you know, I can do that. So I'm picking and choosing and going, you know, I can see this when it comes out on DVD this fall.
Yeah.
So, oh well. But Alien fans got to be pretty jazzed about this. I mean, that would have been pretty cool to be there, to, you know, be in the same room with Sigourney Weaver in the films, you know, playing the films that she was in. And then hearing the backstories. I mean, the backstories had to be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt that would have been a great event to attend and get the details of things that you didn't really hear about.
I wonder if any of that filming creeped her out. You know, I mean, I'm sure that she knows that it's not real, but with the right lighting and,
I'm sure it did.
Yeah, I'm thinking even with the, if depending on the type of acting you're doing, you have to convey those very real emotions. Where do you have to put your head at to really convey that? And, mm-hmm. and you know, what kind of nightmares do you end up with?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, doing stuff like that.
It's got to kind of get in your head a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see what happens with that. Story number three. I was really hoping I heard about this story either yesterday or earlier today, and I did some Googling real quick, found it. I was going to give it to you guys to have on the show, but Anessa beat me to it. So, Anessa, what are we talking about?
And you didn't go to the conference in Ottawa today?
There was a conference in Ottawa today. What?
Yeah. Okay. So, for everyone else wondering what we're talking about, I've mentioned them before. Well, I've mentioned the alien species, the Elohim. And the believers of the Elohim are the Raelians, R-A-E-L-I-A-N-S. The founder is a French auto racer and journalist, Claude Vorilhon, and he founded this whole religion that's based on the belief that you have these extraterrestrial species called the Elohim, and basically they go around, I'm trying to remember if they do the panspermia thing.
Oh, yeah.
Help with life on other planets.
Yes.
Thing. So, the group believes that the Elohim will return to Earth at some point when a suitable embassy is built specifically for them, and the embassy would naturally be equipped with a landing pad for the Elohim spaceships. Now, the guy who founded this religion that believes that the Elohim will be coming back one day goes by Rael, and so his followers are the Raelians. And they want to build a an embassy for the aliens in Canada. They don't care where it's built in Canada, as long as it's not in the Arctic Circle of Canada. So they want to be in basically the southern half of Canada where civilization resides. They don't want to be out in the middle of nowhere. They've been rallying, or I guess lobbying, for the embassy to be built in Israel, but that's gotten shot down, like, repeatedly. So they're moving on to Canada.
Why? Okay, why Israel? Is there a reason?
I honestly don't know.
Is it because maybe it's close?
I don't know if maybe it's one of those holy land sort of things, or maybe that's where the Elohim originally started everything at.
It's the cradle of civilization is close to there, right?
Right. So that might be why they were going for Israel. They have updated their logo because the original logo kind of looks, if I remember, it looks like the Star of David, but with the swastika in the middle.
Oh, no.
Which I'm sure didn't really go over very well.
Yeah.
And so they turned the swastika into, like, this little swirly design in the middle, so.
Well, you know why it's a swastika? Because that's an ancient symbol, right? And they think that maybe...
Yeah, it's an ancient symbol that Nazis had to go and ruin.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, they feel that Canada would benefit from an economic impact of tens of billions of dollars in the long term if they are allowed to build this embassy there.
Tens of billions.
Tens of billions.
Wow.
That's really big numbers.
Yeah.
Pretty confident. But Daniel Turcott said in a press release that in addition to the tens of billions of dollars in the long term, the host country of this embassy will improve and enjoy an immense prestige being the interplanetary hub. The residents of this country will be the first to benefit from the Elohim's very advanced technology in the fields, among others, of biorobotics, nanotechnology, medicine, transport, and communications, as well as an access to some resources of energy currently impossible to imagine by our scientists.
Wow.
Neato.
Yeah. Win-win.
The Raelians, huh?
Win-win.
They're dreaming big. The Raelians are perhaps best known for their claims of scientific superiority. In 2002, the Raelian-affiliated company Clonade claimed it had created the first ever human clone, a baby named Eve. The company and the Raelians have yet to provide DNA proof of their claims. More recently, the Raelians have focused on spreading their free love message. In 2010, Rael called on Tiger Woods. What? Oh, I assume
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. Typo. Tiger Woods to chill out and embrace a polyamorous lifestyle. The group sponsors an annual Go Topless Day.
Well, this is the country for
that's
it.
That's totally relevant to the story.
Now, Canada is the perfect place for these guys and that embassy because there's you can run around topless in this country. And
well,
not
nude beaches.
Yeah.
They could have it in New York. Going topless is not against the law in New York.
That's not?
No.
Really?
I know this only because I was on Facebook and this story popped up that Bruce Willis's daughter went topless throughout New York City in support of Rihanna.
Hmm.
Because it's legal.
I did not know that.
That's how I know. But if you want to learn more about the Elohim, you can listen to a previous episode titled Almonds. Which is episode number 41 of The Alien Invasion.
I wonder where we got that title from. I'm always wondering, you know, what was going through our mind.
I remember. It actually has to do with the fact that all of the aliens have almond-shaped eyes.
Oh, okay.
We talked about. Okay. It's not all of them, but more often than not, they have almond-shaped eyes.
We should almonds. We should play the Alien Invasion title game. To try to figure out what the hell we were thinking or where the title came from.
Yeah, that would actually be kind of funny. Just at the end, pick a title and be like, do you guys remember this? What were we thinking? What crap did Anessa say?
Yeah, it's usually you. You're usually the perpetrator. So the Raelians held a press conference in Ottawa then.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Wednesday.
Today?
I think this article came out like a day or two ago.
Okay.
And so it would have been today.
Okay. Damn it. I wish I would have known.
Didn't specify which Wednesday. I know. If I had seen this earlier, I didn't see it till like late this afternoon. I'm like, oh man, I totally could have sent it to Dave and be like, you need to find out where this is.
I could have been on. I could have been like a reporter. I could have been like.
I know. You could have been on the scene.
Yeah,
live.
No. I know. Damn it. Okay.
Dave Nelson reporting.
Yeah, next time. Next time we'll plan ahead better. All right. Cool. Well, I for one. Welcome our, what are they? What are they called?
Raelian overlords?
Oh, no, the Raelians are the religion, the Elohim are the aliens.
Elohim. I, for one, welcome our Elohim overlords.
Which sounds very Hebrew.
Yeah, it does.
Elohim.
Yeah.
It probably is.
Yeah. Well, Canada would be the place for something like this. They're very welcoming here. They welcome everybody. It's very
so darn nice.
Accepting.
Surprisingly enough, Wausau has been very welcoming too.
That does surprise me.
Huh?
That does surprise me just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a tad. Just a little bit.
I know. Well, because there's been a couple of places that I've gone and people will ask like where I'm from, or we were at a gas station one night after going to find the geographic center of the Western Hemisphere, northern half of the Western Hemisphere, and we stopped off at this gas station and some guy just got done putting gas in his truck. I was like, Texas, what are you doing up here? And then we all stopped and chit-chatted for like 5 minutes.
Nice. Very nice.
So, yeah. And we went to this little Mexican supermarket type store. And I was talking to the guy there. And so he's like, well, on behalf of all the Mexicans, welcome to Los
My God.
So surprisingly, people have been friendly so far.
All right. Well, let's hope we can be that friendly to the Elohim when they arrive.
Here's hoping.
All right. Before we,
as long as they don't land in Quebec, they should be fine.
Yeah. Before we move on to the Craft Corner, we would love your feedback on anything and everything that we talk about here on the Alien Invasion Podcast. There's many ways that you can give us feedback. There's the email address, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can also call our voicemail number. Call it 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. And we've also got a page on our website, and I forget what the, is it, I know that we have the community page, but I thought there was a feedback or a contact us page or something, I forget. Anyways, galacticnetcasts.com. Go there. I'm sure you can find the link. And contact us. Leave us feedback on any of the stories that we've talked about on this or other shows. Okay. It is time for our new feature.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shape like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects. Flying over me.
I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
It is time for Craft Corner. This is where we take a look at famous UFOs, unidentified flying objects, or alien spacecraft from history, either from our history or the history of the fictional universe. And today, on this episode, we're going to talk about the pyramid-shaped UFO. I had no idea until I did my research today that there was such a thing as a pyramid-shaped UFO, but there is. Who'd have thought?
Surprise!
Who'd have thunk? It's a fairly new type of craft, only being seen within the last few years. Enormous pyramid-shaped UFOs have been seen and photographed in the U.S., Canada, Colombia, China, Russia, Spain, Japan, France, and many other countries. A Cambridge, Ontario couple, Cambridge is near Toronto, photographed an apparent pyramid-like UFO moving rapidly over the city around a cloud cover on May 3rd, 2012, according to testimony from the Mutual UFO Network. Brad, can you do me a favor? Could you possibly do a screen grab of this, the picture that we have in the document? Is that possible?
Oh, yeah. Give me
Sorry for putting you on the spot there.
No, that's fine.
This is a pretty badass photo. I wanted to share this with our video consumers of this show. YouTube.com/GalacticNetcast. You can watch the show if you only subscribe to the audio podcast, and you can see the image that Brad is going to put up on the big screen.
Oops.
On the tote board. There it is.
Give me a sec here. I'm going to...
So maybe harder to see. There it is. He's circling his mouse.
Yep, circling the crosshairs around where the pyramid is in the cloud formation.
It's very distinctive. You can definitely see it. And there's apparently video as well floating around on the internet. And I think maybe it's in the article that I posted where I got this information from. I forget. Anyways, that's one of the reported sightings of the pyramid-shaped UFO. In January of this year, a large pyramid-shaped UFO was spotted over Bulgaria. On September 17th, 2011, a pyramid-shaped UFO was spotted over a Chinese power plant. According to Michael Cohen, I have no idea who this Michael Cohen is. He could just be a guy on the street. He says most UFO researchers have concluded that the various pyramid UFOs seen recently above various cities across the globe are connected. The recent pyramid UFOs seen over China and Colombia are particularly similar and might well be the same craft. UFO experts have debated as to whether these are the craft of an extraterrestrial race that has just chanced upon Earth, or are these the spaceships of a civilization that has interacted with humanity for millennia, perhaps inspiring the building of ancient pyramid structures from Egypt to Central America. Maybe these guys are the Elohim.
Elohim?
That's hard.
I don't think so, because I want to say that originally when this Rael guy first encountered them, I think they were in a bell-shaped craft.
Oh, okay.
I think. Okay. Either that or I'm confusing them with someone else.
Okay.
But
Brad, are you finding
unless that... they've updated their design, which is very possible. Maybe they could have gone from bell-shaped to pyramid-shaped. Maybe it's easier to build.
That's less of a structural load.
Well, you know, you have to like smooth things out versus a pyramid where you just have to end up with all even sides and all together.
Some of the videos on this article that if you're watching our video, Brad's got it up on his screen. A couple of these videos look obviously faked. I mean, but there's one or two that look pretty real. Quote unquote real. I think this is one of them. There's some pretty good UFO YouTube series on the YouTube. Yeah, this is a good one. This one not as distinctively pyramid as the others, but looks somewhat pyramid-like, sort of. All right, so this is great for our audio people. So most UFO researchers suspect that world governments are hiding what they know about aliens and UFO visitations from the general public. These open, obvious displays have led many to come to the conclusion that aliens themselves are about to make their presence known to us, thus finally ending our isolation and conclusively answering the question, are we alone in the universe? Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun. So yeah, if you get a chance, check out the link that we'll have in the show notes, and you can check out all these crazy and not so crazy videos and pictures of the pyramid-shaped UFOs. And that, my friends, is your craft corner for this episode.
Excellent.
Yeah, did you guys hear of the pyramid-shaped UFOs before this?
Actually,
Not off the top of my head.
Nothing's ringing a bell.
It would make sense that these would be the aliens that would inspire the pyramids of Egypt and South and Central America, right? I mean, if it's the same shape, unless that's a shape that's common in the universe, you know?
Could be the whole prism thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. All right, there you go. That is the craft corner for this episode. Let's move on to our picks. And Anessa is feverishly typing.
I wasn't typing anything.
Oh, you weren't. Oh, okay. Oh,
go down. No, that was me.
So Brad and I initially watched this video short film, award-winning film. We questioned what award it won.
Yeah, I was gonna say
the worst film in the convention. but the name of the film is called The Alien. And it is written and stars Ben Nichols.
And is executive produced by Ben Nichols.
Why does that name sound familiar? Why does that name sound familiar?
Nichols is a very common name.
No, Ben Nichols. It's called The Alien?
The Alien.
Are you sure
black and white.
Oh, are you sure that we haven't talked about this before on the show?
I don't know.
Pretty
sure.
We talk
about a lot.
Okay.
And it's hard to search the show for Alien when everything we talk about is Alien.
Yeah, that's true.
So, because usually, like, I try to do a search with Galactic Netcast, and then the name of the movie or the short story or the book or whatever it is that we're reviewing, and it'll come up. But if you do Galactic Netcast and Alien, get it.
One of 3,000.
So if we have talked about it, sorry. I do have another one that I can talk about, which was a lot better than this one. But essentially, I like Brad's description here, if he wants to read it.
I just basically said, I'm just going to read what I wrote. Ben Nichols is not an actor and works very hard to convey emotions in a ham-fisted manner, and then uses John Woo-esque imagery at the end of the movie to convey a feeling of hope. It mixes together to make you feel confused.
You wrote that?
Essentially what this...
Yes.
What,
That was good. That should you should put that on the IMDb page.
Well, it's better than the movie. I don't mean to be mean or anything, but essentially the video is about this guy, and he has lost a loved one, and he can't get over the loss of this loved one, and aliens come from space to help him get over it.
Anessa, we have talked about this before.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Oh.
But that's okay. Now we can talk about it again.
Forgettable.
Yeah, if it's...
I mean, there's a reason why we forgot. But no, and then the after this, Brad went to go work on sticking stories in the dock, and I was putzing around on YouTube on the Xbox, and I did find a version of Lifted that we had originally noticed on YouTube, but it wanted us to purchase. But thankfully, someone else uploaded the video to YouTube, and we didn't have to purchase it. Take that, Disney's Pixar. But yeah, so I ended up watching this little short film called Lifted. It is by Pixar, and it's maybe like 5 minutes long, and I got a kick out of it. It was really cute, but it's about not so much the abductee in an alien abduction, but the training that an alien has to go through. And the basically, think of a 16-year-old taking his driver's ed exam to get his license. It's essentially the same concept, except there's a little alien that is trying to get his certification to abduct humans.
That is funny. That's a great concept.
Yeah, and he's failing miserably. He's adorable. There's like a few thousand switches that look identical, and he's trying to easily abduct this person out of bed without waking them up and out the window, and he keeps missing the window, and they keep hitting their head on the wall. But yeah, it's funny and it's adorable, and I think even if you don't really care much for animation, I think you'd get a kick out of it anyway, Dave.
Well, it sounds good. I'm embracing animation. I've watched a lot of animation since I moved to where I am now. So,
yay, Stephanie!
Yay.
Yeah, she's been a very good influence, definitely.
So, no, you guys should sit down and spend 5 minutes to watch Lifted from Disney's Pixar. It's cute, and I love the concept. But
all right, so thumbs up for Lifted, thumbs down.
Thumbs up for Lifted, and 2 stars for the alien.
Okay, so we're doing multiple rating systems here.
We are. Okay, so what, out of 5 stars, I'd give Pixar's Lifted like 4.
Wow, okay.
I don't know. I just really liked it, and I got a kick out of it.
So. Yeah, good. All right, awesome. I'm glad that you could...
And the alien was adorable, so that helps.
It was awesome that you could redeem the first one with the other one. Washed your mouth out. You washed the alien crud out of your mouth with Lifted.
With Lifted, yes. So.
All right.
Sorry, the alien person, Ben Nichols.
Yeah, it was sad. I mean, you know, I honestly want to say that he was trying to do some complicated things, and I don't think he had the experience. And he had some very solid ideas of what he wanted to do. It was just execution of those ideas that were just not as good as they could have been.
As I recall, he has done a number of other short films. I'm gonna real quick look him up on IMDb just to see what comes up, because that may be one of his first films, and if that's the case, he may be getting better.
Well, here's hoping, because he has good ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not coming up on IMDb, so maybe he's not a filmmaker. I don't know.
No, to me, this kind of reminded me of maybe someone that has just started going to college and is maybe not like just started, but just started actually taking classes where you have to do projects on film. And this kind of makes me think of something along those lines.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like getting your feet wet, basically just using and showing that you know how to use Adobe Premiere and After Effects and whatever other software program that they use.
Yeah, it's a great student film. If it is a student film, it's a great student film.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Cool. Thanks, guys, for your 2 picks. I will wrap things up here with my pick. It's a movie called Unidentified. It's a 2013 found footage film. That means it's one of those films where it's all shot via like handheld cameras that somebody was actually, you know, either their camera phone in this case. No, this was not a camera phone. This was an actual camera. Anyways, so the premise is these guys go on this trip to Las Vegas. On their way down there, they stop in some place in Nevada, and it's like an alien-themed diner, and they run into this guy that tells them the story of seeing an alien out in the middle of nowhere. So they go out to this like location, and they get freaked out, and they get back in their car, and they go down to Las Vegas and do their trip that they were setting out to do. And then on their way back, they drive through this place again, and all hell breaks loose, basically. And I was really kind of nervous at first because it wasn't a very good film, but then it got good all of a sudden, and I was like surprised at how good it got towards the end. Like, the effects are pretty good. One effect was the camera goes, like, gets lifted up because of this alien ship. I guess it had some kind of effect on, like, gravity, and it got taken up with the ship, and it ends up actually, like, way the hell up in the atmosphere, like, to the point where, they showed the camera and the guy that was with it, and they showed his head, like, basically explode from, because he was leaving the atmosphere and going into space.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and the camera fell back and down to Earth, so the way they did it, it looks like they actually brought the camera up, like on a balloon or something, because I've seen videos that people have done this before where they bring a camera, you know, on a balloon, and then the balloon pops, it comes back down via a parachute, and they're tracking it the whole way via GPS. And I think this is what they did with this. And they actually, it falls all the way back down to Earth, and somebody else picks it up, and they repair it. And basically, that's how they find the footage and make this film. It's this just found footage. It's cheesy. It's stupid for the most part, for like maybe, I'm going to say, three quarters of the film, but it really redeems itself towards the end. Like, they're out in the desert, and this main character basically got taken over by these aliens because he found this object and something came out of it and went into his skin, and he had some kind of alien under his skin, and that effect was pretty cool. And then there was a scene where there was a number of humans being led towards this craft out in the middle of the desert, and they all got like glowing things on their heads. It's really cool, and I definitely recommend it. It's called Unidentified, and you can get it on Netflix, or you can check it out on our picks page at galacticnetcasts.com. It stars four people that I've never heard of before. You can tell it's a low-budget film, which is great because that's, you know, if you're a first-time director of a film, do a found footage film because they're so easy to do because you don't got to do fancy, like, crane effects. You don't have to, you know, have all this heavy equipment. Just carry around a regular, you know, camera, and there you go. That's your Blair Witch or whatever, you know. There you go. That's my pick. It's called Unidentified.
Sweet.
All right, and that's gonna do it. That's gonna do it for the show. We're done.
Woohoo!
Yeah. All right. Again, we'd love your feedback. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. 805-328-3966 is the voicemail number. If you have a suggestion for something that we should talk about, let us know. Follow us on Twitter, Google+, and Facebook. Give us suggestions there as well. And throughout the week, we pipe in some sci-fi and science news to keep your appetite wetted. Don't forget to subscribe to us via iTunes, via Stitcher, Smart Radio, or just Google Galactic Netcast. If you do the iTunes route, go ahead and give us 5 stars and a review on iTunes. That way we get more subscribers. And there you go. We do have a real quick thing of feedback, and it involves one of Anessa's previous picks on a previous episode of Galactic Netcast, or of The Alien Invasion. You want to tell us about it, Anessa?
Yeah, actually. So, Brad was on his phone checking out, or rather, he was showing me that on one of the websites where our podcast gets posted to, the little summary that he includes now includes links to each of the stories that we talk about. And as he was doing a search for Galactic Nightcasts, he came across a blog post from an author whose short story I talked about a while ago, March 5th to be exact. And if you guys happen to remember, I talked about a short story called Dog Aliens, and it is by Cherise Kelly. And it's essentially about these dogs. Well, it talks about how dogs are aliens, and there's various types of dog aliens, and they're fighting each other and basically trying to mine stuff to send back home to use for fuel and whatnot. And she writes that Galactic Nightcasts, Anessa, I'm assuming this is autocorrect, Alana Magnus Mugines.
That's great.
She just didn't delete the Alana Magnus, because I'm pretty sure I've seen my name done like that before by autocorrect. But she said that I said some really nice things about how she reported on the Kaxian aliens on Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. She talked mostly about the, or I talked mostly about the dog aliens short story, but I did say that I had read some of the dog aliens Ralph's name in order to fill in details I needed to for the Kaxians on the show's creature feature. So yeah, she just goes on and says that where in the podcast it starts, and she said it goes on for 11 minutes and listening to it made her day.
Sweet.
So, and she puts a link to the show.
And we also got some feedback from your pick from last week too via Twitter, right?
Yes. So my pick from last week was an app called Battle Suit Runner. And it's similar to like the zombie apps. Like, you go out to exercise and you're running along and you're listening on your headphones and you've got like this storyline playing along, and you have to avoid, rather than zombies, you have to avoid aliens. And they were really pleased that I gave them a positive review, and they said that they have a multiplayer mode coming soon.
Sweet.
So we can look forward to that as well.
Awesome.
So you don't have to battle aliens by yourself. Soon you can recruit friends.
So next you're going to hear from Ben, and he's going to be like, why are you dissing my movie?
Why are you hate? No, that was a good effort, Ben. It just fell short in my book. I'm sorry.
No, it's awesome. It's feedback either way is great. So I guess.
No, and I mean, it really, it's good whether it's positive or negative or kind of neutral, because at least you have something to go off of to improve.
Yeah. So Ben, keep at it. Keep at it, Ben. You'll get better.
You have promised.
Yes.
If you've made more stuff, I'll have to look it up, because maybe you've gotten a lot better since then.
All right.
It's been a couple years.
So that's going to do it for the Alien Invasion Podcast, episode number 106, and another Galactic Netcast in the books. Hey, final thoughts. Brad, what do you got? That was it?
Going to see The Edge of Tomorrow very shortly. I want to see, I had high hopes for it. I know I've kind of said that, I think, throughout. Especially after seeing Oblivion, really want to see this film and see how this concept works out.
You gonna see it this weekend?
Boy, probably not this weekend. Maybe some point during next week.
So it could be a pick in a future episode of the Alien Invasion Podcast. Quite possibly. All right.
Yes.
Looking forward to it. All right, Anessa. Finally, your final thought.
So I've come to, like, I think it was during last week's show, but I've come to realize how much we talk about Star Wars and Star Trek in the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. And I'm kind of wondering if we could maybe do, like, a show without ever referencing Star Wars or Star Trek.
Challenge. That's quite the challenge. We'll see.
I know. And the thing is... like last week, I came to this realization because when I was searching for a story, they were talking about this house, I think in Florida, that has a room that is made to look like part of the set from Star Trek. Basically the deck, captain's chair, all that good stuff. And so I was going to use that, but I'm like, no, because I think there's already a Star Wars or Star Trek story, and we always talk about Star Wars and Star Trek, and I'm like, I don't need to add another Star Trek story to the mix.
Well, you know, it's hard to ignore Star Wars, particularly now with filming getting underway for Episode 7 and cast announcements, and there's pictures being leaked.
Yeah, it really is, but I was just kind of wondering last week and remembered this week. Like, I wonder if we would be able to go an entire show without Star Wars or Star Trek.
I try not to bring a Star Wars or Star Trek story in, but it never fails. One always pops up, so...
Yeah.
One of these days.
Maybe we should be like, next show, we're just going to try not like tonight's show.
Okay, yeah.
Next week.
I got it. Get it. All right. All right.
In a week or two, we'll pick a date and be like, Star Wars, Star Trek free.
So while, you know, while Anessa's talking about the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, make sure you subscribe to that. That's our other podcast, basically a roundtable discussion of the week's science fiction news. So look for that as well from Galactic Netcasts. And that's going to do it for the alien invasion. And we will talk to you guys next time.
Yay! See you, Dave.
Bye.
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 Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.